When you ask people sometimes, it's fascinating to say to people, how do you know you're saved? Oh, I'm a member of such and such a church. Explain to me again. Oh, I'm actually active in the church. Hey, that's not the basis of faith.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We're so happy you have tuned in, and we trust you will be blessed by this evening's message. This is the fourth in Pastor Brian Grant's series on the seven signs of Christ, those seven miracles reported in the Gospel of John designed to reveal Jesus as more than simply a miracle worker or a prophet, but as the Messiah, the Christ of God, the hope of all mankind. This evening's message comes from the account of John chapter 4, where we find a royal official coming to Jesus with a desperate need and how Jesus demonstrated his divine power in meeting that need. Turn with us now to John chapter 4 and verses 46 through 54 and listen as Pastor Grant brings his message that asks the important question, what is your faith based on? Here now is Pastor Grant.
Four high school boys were late for class one morning, and they entered the classroom and they figured they had to give an excuse. So they told the teacher they were late because the car they were riding in had a flat tire. The teacher smiled and she told them, she said, you know, we had an important test this morning, but she said, I'll allow you to make it up if you can give me the correct answer to just one question. And so she put each of the boys in one of the four corners of the room. Every boy had a corner, and she gave everybody a piece of paper and a pencil, and then she asked them the one question she needed to get right. She asked them to answer, which of the four tires of the car was flat? Sometimes we think we have a great story, but often our story is not as tight as we think it is. And it's okay to be wrong on a few things, but there are some things that it's important that we be right about. Am I right about that? And so this morning, as I was preparing, I wondered, what's your story for when you meet God? If you had died last night and stood before God, if he had asked you, why should he let you into heaven? What would your story have been? I want to suggest to you, my friend, that's a story you better get right. So this morning I want to deal with this question, what is your faith based on? In today's text, in John's Gospel, chapter 4, we find Jesus back in Cana of Galilee. And this is the same town where he did his first miracle in John's Gospel, chapter 2. In his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, Jesus was at a wedding, if you recall, and at that wedding, he turned water into wine. That was a time of joy and celebration. But in today's story, as Jesus is back in Cana, this is not a story of joy and celebration. This is a story of great distress because a royal official's son is at death's door. This man's son was dying. And as I was preparing, I thought, these two miracles at Cana tell us something about Jesus. What it tells me is that Jesus is Lord of all situations. Amen? Amen. At times of joy and celebration, isn't it good to know that Jesus is there? Amen? But at times of distress, at times of trouble, at times of anxiety, I want you to know that the God in the good times is the same God in the bad times. Am I right about it? I want you to know that the God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. And it could be that you're here this morning. I don't know whether you're on the mountain or whether you're in the valley, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is here and he can meet you at your very point of need. Amen. C.S. Lewis said, God speaks to us in our health and shouts to us in our pain. Amen. God speaks to us in our health and shouts to us in our pain. In joy or pain, we can count on Jesus. But between these two miracles at Cana, Jesus visited Jerusalem to attend the Passover. And during that visit, he performed a number of miracles while he was there in Jerusalem. Did so many miracles that people all around were impressed. And one of the people who was very impressed about what Jesus was doing in Jerusalem is a man by the name of Nicodemus. And in John's Gospel chapter 3, we're not going to turn there. Many of us know the story about how Nicodemus came to Jesus by... No, you might not. You may have missed it. But John's Gospel chapter 3 tells us that the reason he came is because of all the miracles Jesus was doing in Jerusalem. He came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you must be a teacher sent from God because nobody can do these incredible signs or miracles that you are doing unless God is with him. It was the miracles that Jesus was doing in Jerusalem that blew him away. But it's very interesting that John in his gospel never even mentioned one of those miracles. We've been going through this series entitled The Seven Signs of Christ because one of the things that I've been trying to point out is that in the gospel of John, despite all the miracles Jesus did, John only mentions seven. In the entire gospel, you might be surprised, only seven. And some of the ones he mentions, nobody else in the other Gospels mentions them. Because you see, John has a specific purpose in mind. And in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31, John tells us this, that he has written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing we might have life through his name. John was writing with the express purpose to help us to recognize who Jesus Christ is, that he is God. And he says that believing you might have life through his name. And therefore, you can expect that all the seven signs, he calls them signs. So if occasionally I use the word signs, you'll know I'm still speaking about miracles. John only gives seven in the entire gospel. You can therefore expect that everyone is significant. So what's significant about this lesson today? Oh, there are a lot of things we could talk about, but the one that God has laid on my heart to speak to you this morning, I want to deal with the fact, the basis of saving faith. Because I believe that in this very short narrative, the Spirit of God has pointed out to us three essential elements of saving faith. What is your faith based on? Number one, element number one. Saving faith, are you with me, requires a Savior who is God and man. John's Gospel chapter 4, if we were to pick up at verse 46, it says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman. A nobleman is a royal official. I will refer to him more so as a royal official than as a nobleman. There was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. We will come back to that point. Listen, it's critical that our faith is based on a Jesus who was a man. Because Jesus had to be a man if he was going to be my substitute. Amen? Mark's Gospel chapter 10 verse 45 tells us that Jesus came to give his life a ransom for us. Thank God he was a substitute. But people don't usually have any issue dealing with the fact that Jesus was a man. Where we have problems is accepting that Jesus is God. But by including this sign miracle, stay with me now, John linked Jesus with two important attributes of deity. John linked, in this story this morning, John linked Jesus with the omnipotence of God, and he linked him with the omnipresence of God. Omnipotence means he has unlimited power, and omnipresence means that God can be everywhere at the same time. We'll soon see that the reason the royal official finally believed in Jesus was because he came to grips with the fact that Jesus was omnipotent. We're going to get there. You're going to see that what really made the deal for this man, what finally clicked, he finally came to grips that Jesus was all powerful. But this miracle also links Jesus with God's omnipresence. For when he healed the man's son, he was not physically present. Now, it is a fact that Jesus placed limitations on himself by taking a physical body. But at no time did Jesus, come with me now, Jesus limited himself by having a physical body. But at no time did Jesus cease to be God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Years ago, there was a big dispute going on in Christian circles. Could Jesus Christ sin? Could Jesus Christ have sinned? And some people said, yes, he could have because he was a man. The debate was finally solved on this simple fact. You see, Jesus Christ was a man. But the question is, was he God? Yes, he always was God. He is God, always is, was, whatever you want to say. And so the question is, when can God ever sin? Never. So Jesus Christ could not have sinned because he always was God. When he was here, we were seeing God manifested in the flesh. And because Jesus Christ was God, he could heal this man without being there. The omnipresence of God, despite the fact that Jesus was limited because of his human body, it didn't stop him from doing things somewhere else. I'm so glad that when we go into a hospital room and we pray for somebody is in that bed, Jesus doesn't have to be physically there. I've never seen him there. But I tell you, that we have prayed, and Brother Leroy just spoke about one of her members who pretty much had been given up on, but we prayed for this lady who they had given up on, and the God who was not physically present touched her. And hallelujah, he has brought her back, and she was laughing and just celebrating the goodness of God. Listen, God is everywhere at the same time, and although physically Jesus's physical presence can only be one place at a time, Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, and he was able to deal with this nobleman's son, although he was at a distance. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? Jesus Christ is the, if you don't know this phrase, grab it. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's God and man at the same time. You know, other people have his name. You know, sometimes we think the name Jesus is unique. In fact, the Latin community, there are a lot of Jesuses or Jesus. Am I right about that? There are a lot of Jesuses. It's not a unique name, but I want you to know the only Jesus who was God and man at the same time is the Jesus who walked this earth and healed the sick. It's the Jesus who appears in John's Gospel chapter 4. It's the Jesus who Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He, in him, dwells the fullness of deity in bodily form. God had come down with the express purpose to go to the cross and to die for your sin and my sin. And so Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me ask you this morning before I move on. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is this Jesus your Savior? Is this Jesus who was man and God at the same time your Savior? Because this is one of the most essential bases for saving faith. But secondly, another important basis for saving faith is humility before God. Up until this time, the Jews proudly thought they had a monopoly on God's salvation, for only Jews could enter the inner courts of the temple. So imagine their shock when they saw that Jesus was willing to help this official of the hated Roman oppressors. From the standpoint of a Jew, this official, this royal official of Rome, was not worthy of God's mercy. But I'm so glad Jesus came for sinners, amen? I'm so glad he came for Jewish sinners, Gentile sinners, black sinners, white sinners, Asian sinners, Latin sinners. Oh, we can divide ourselves any way we want to. You see, salvation is not based on race. It's based on grace. Amen? And the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be the body that is setting the example to the entire world of what it means to be one in the body of Christ. But what a shame. What a shame that they tell us that 11 o'clock on the Sunday morning is the most divided hour in these United States, because somehow we have not gotten it. We have not gotten that God has brought from every race and kindred and tongue, and that he has brought together a brand new race, and he calls it the Church of Jesus Christ. And may God help us at this church to always value one another, to think highly of everyone, no matter their background, their economic circumstance, the color of their skin. We are one in Christ Jesus. But let's take another look at verse 46 of John's Gospel chapter 4. In verse 46 it says, so Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. This is amazing. This man was a royal official of the king. Some say that he may even have been part of the royal family. I don't see enough evidence to support it, but some commentaries tell us that this man might have been a part of the royal family. Men of such rank and power don't go seeking for those in lower in rank and power. Am I right about that? These big shots, they don't come to you. They order you to come to them. But here was this royal official. He left the big city of Capernaum and he went to a little village called Cana to beg. It's interesting, the Bible uses the word implore. He went to the city and he is imploring, he's begging a humble carpenter to help him. Oh, my friend, I hope you get it. This man, as big shot as he was willing to humble himself before Jesus. Have you humbled yourself before Jesus as yet? Do you know I've met a lot of people who are still outside of Christ, a lot of people who are still unsaved because they refuse to humble themselves before God. They keep saying, oh, I'm good enough. I'm not as bad as this one. I'm not as bad as this one. I haven't shot anybody. I read my Bible every day. I'm a member of a church. I've been baptized. I'm even on the usher board. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. When you ask people sometimes, it's fascinating to say to people, how do you know you're saved? Oh, I'm a member of such and such a church. Explain to me again. Oh, I'm actually active in the church. Hey, that's not the basis of faith. Your church membership has nothing to do with whether or not you have saving faith. Saving faith requires one, a real understanding that the Savior has got to be a man named Jesus who was God and man at the same time. But saving faith requires that I must humble myself in the presence of God. In Luke 18, a Pharisee and a tax collector went to the temple to pray. Some of you know the story. And the Pharisees prayed. You see, the Pharisee is like how some of us were before we came to Jesus. And the Pharisees prayed, God, I thank you. I thank you. But notice he didn't say, God, I thank you for blessing me or for saving me. He said, no, God, I thank you that I'm really a good guy. I thank you that I'm not like other people. Oh my. Then he said, I'm not like them. I'm not a swindler. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Then he added, he opened his eye, or probably had his eye on the whole time. And he looked across and he saw this little tax collector praying. The tax collectors, in case you didn't get it, they were the hated people. Nobody liked paying taxes, and these tax collectors represented Rome. That's number one. And number two, you were going to gouge me for my money so you could give it to Rome. And so the Jews hated tax collectors. And so here is this Pharisee. He's a big shot in the Jewish religion. And he's praying, and he said, God, I am so glad I'm not like them. And I'm not like that tax collector. Is that you? You're just so glad that you're not like them.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.